Jackie Jin's old time radio. Fish wants those kids dead. Now enjoy this filthy episode of The Saint, entitled Death of the Saint.
The Mummers, in the little theater of the air.
Of murder, eh? Then listen while the hermit tells you the story.
Hazel Clinton, well, I'm glad to see you. Come in, sit down. Let me look at you. Ah, it's good to see you again.
It's good to see you again, too.
Only seen you once since your marriage. Where do you and Lyman hide out? How is that Arthur husband of yours, anyway?
Well, it's your fault you haven't seen us. Been invited 3 times, you know.
And couldn't get away. Besides, why do you live way out in the wilderness? Hazel, you're not ill. Or are you?
No, Dr. Russell. It isn't I.
Bob. Not Dr. Russell to you, my dear.
It's easier to call you Dr. Russell on a call like this.
What can I do for you, Hazel? Here. Want to smoke? Have a cigarette.
Thanks.
There now.
I came to talk to you about Lyman.
Yes? Is he ill, Hazel?
It's worse than that. I don't know what it is, but it's something dreadful. Terrible, I know.
You tell me the best you can.
Well, at first, when we moved out in the country, he seemed so happy. He was busy writing a new novel.
And he had you there with him?
Yes. I thought that should make him happy. He'd made me rush the marriage so.
Married 2 months before you planned to be, weren't you?
Yes. But then, several months after we'd been out in the country, Lyman began to act very strange. Very strange.
What do you mean?
Well, at first I thought it was fear of something. I don't know what. And then he began to sit in the library. All night long.
Writing, you mean?
Some, perhaps. But when he'd come upstairs early in the morning, he'd look like someone who had undergone a terrible struggle, an ordeal. His face would be white and chalky. His eyes would jerk and his lips tremble.
How long has this been going on?
For a month now. Oh, it's terrible. Something's driving him mad. Whatever it is, it'll kill him.
Hazel, I don't know what to say. I can't say anything right offhand. But you know, my dear, writers... Well, anyway, Lyman has always been rather a peculiar chap. Normal, of course. Normal as any of us.
He's not normal now. He's changed. He's not the same. Oh, you've got to do something.
Can you get him to come and see me?
No. That's the trouble. I can't. He won't leave the house for a day. I've begged him to get out, but he won't.
Tell him you were coming to see me?
Oh, mercy, no. Just in town, shopping.
And you want me to come to him. Is that it?
Exactly.
Without his knowing, I'm making a professional call.
Yes. I want you to come for the weekend, and while there, see if you can do anything for him.
I'm not a psychiatrist, honey. I may advise pills when he needs a change of air.
Oh, I know you. You'll do the right thing. When can you come?
Well, want me this weekend? Tomorrow?
Indeed, I do.
I think I can get away this weekend. I will. I'll be there.
Oh, fine. I feel better already. About Lyman, I mean. I know you can help him if anyone can.
Don't put too much faith in a doddering old surgeon, my dear.
Oh, you're the best physician in the world, because I have faith in you. I'll be expecting you for dinner tomorrow.
Hazel, this has been a splendid dinner. I've really eaten more than I ought.
Oh, it's nice to see a man relish a meal. Lyman rarely eats.
I was going to tell you, Bob, that I have no appetite. But it isn't true.
Lyman, you know it is. Why, night after night, he leaves the table scarcely touching his plate.
Isn't true, I tell you.
Well, perhaps Lyman is more sensible than I am. Now, I know too hearty a meal isn't good for me, particularly at night. I don't recommend it to my patients, but like all who preach, I don't practice my own teachings.
Like the shoemaker's children who go without shoes?
Something like that.
Well, if you finish your coffee, shall we go to the drawing room?
Fine. Now, Lyman, how about telling me about your new novel? What's the theme?
I haven't been writing lately.
But he has to soon. He's promised his publishers that it'd be ready in a month.
Don't remind me what I have to do. I'll have it ready.
I'm sure you will. With Hazel here for inspiration, it ought to go fast.
Shall we go to the drawing room, then?
Yes. This way, Bob. Oh,
beautiful here. Beautiful, then. Hazel, this is a lovely home you have out here in the country.
I'm glad you like it.
Quiet and peaceful, too. Ought to be a writer's paradise.
Oh, here, Bob. Sit in this chair. I'm sure you'll find it comfortable.
Thank you.
Where are you going to sit, Lyman?
If you'll excuse me, I think I'll go to the library. I have some work to do.
Don't let me annoy you, Lyman, or keep you from work.
But I thought you'd like to visit with Bob.
I tell you, I have work to do.
All right, of course we'll excuse you.
Yes, I have work to do.
Will you join us later?
Perhaps. No, don't wait for me. It's getting late. I'm sure Bob will want to retire soon.
Oh, but it's early yet, Lyman.
All the same, don't wait for me.
Well, what do you think?
I don't know what to think.
He does act strange, doesn't he?
Yes.
He isn't the same.
No, he isn't.
Changed. And I'm so awfully worried. Notice how he glances everywhere and looks nowhere?
I did.
What can be the trouble?
He seems to be listening for something. Waiting for something.
Yes, that's it.
Of course, Lyman's never been very loquacious.
No, that's right. He dislikes small talk.
There's something almost rude about his taciturnity this evening.
Oh, I know. Oh, Bob, as a doctor, not as a friend, what would you say is the matter?
My dear, I can't answer you yet.
Is it I? Is he tired of me?
No, I don't think so.
But I must know. Notice how white and drawn his face is.
He's under some strain, all right.
What do you propose to do?
As soon as you go upstairs to bed, I'm going to the library and sit with him.
Oh, but he won't let you.
I'm accustomed to giving orders, not taking them.
I know, but you don't know how...
He'll let me stay. Did you notice how he kept looking towards the library and yet tried to hide it from us?
Why, yes. Now that you mention it, I do.
I have a feeling that whatever it is that's bothering Lyman, the library has something to do with it. I'll do my best tonight to find out what it is.
Who is it?
It's I, Bob.
What do you want?
Let me in, won't you?
Sorry, I'm busy.
Why lock the door, Lyman?
Never mind. Go away.
Lyman, I'll call one of the servants to open it for me. I'll rouse the whole house.
You can't come in. All right.
Well?
Come on, let a fellow in.
You came here to snoop, I know it. Hazel brought you here to watch me.
And you admit that there is something wrong, Lyman.
I admit nothing. What time is it?
Chimes just struck as I came down the hall. Let's see. 11:45.
Then you must go. Get out of here.
I don't understand.
The door. I must lock the door.
Come on, Lyman. Tell me what it is that's bothering you.
Go. Leave me alone.
No, I'm here to stay.
I have a gun here, Dr. Russell.
But you won't use it. Not on me.
She'll be coming in a moment. She'll try to get out of this room, rattle the doorknob. Try to get out of this library to kill my wife.
I confess I don't know what you're talking about. Who will come, Lyman?
You'll hear her in a minute. Moving out of those bookshelves. Moving towards me. Towards the door.
Who do you mean?
At first you'll smell the perfume she always wore.
Lyman, who are you talking about?
Shirley Gray. Ghost of Shirley Gray.
Shirley Gray?
Ghost of Shirley Gray. She lives in this room. At night, midnight, she tries to get out and kill Hazel.
Oh, now come, Lyman. You've been working too hard. Your mind is weary. Your imagination is working overtime. Better go up and get some sleep.
I knew this would be the way. I knew what you'd say. You think I'm out of my mind? You think I'm crazy? Well, I'm not.
You doctors are fools. Can't see. Only measles, smallpox. You only can see something that bats you in the face.
It's only because I can see that I'm asking you to go upstairs and get some rest. No one can go on sleepless for weeks and remain sane.
I'm sane, all right. More than you are. Listen, the clock. It's midnight. She'll be here in a moment. Listen. Listen, do you hear? Listen if you dare. Do you hear her?
I hear nothing, Lyman.
She's coming nearer. I can almost see her tonight. She's dressed in a soft, flowing gown. She's coming closer towards me. Nearer. Nearer. She's coming nearer. Shirley, I didn't kill you. I didn't mean to kill you.
Lyman, what on earth is the matter?
Dr. Russell, don't grab my arm. Let me go. Let me go, I tell you. Let me go. Can't you see? She's moving towards the door. She wants to get out. No! No, you can't get out of here. I'll stop you. No! No, you can't get out that door. Get back. Back into the shelves. I didn't mean to kill you, Shirley. Get back into the shelves. Back, back. I'm pushing her back. I'm winning. Winning. Back. Back into the shelves. Back. There.
Lyman. Lyman, what is it?
It's all over now. I won. She didn't get out. She's gone back. Now I can go upstairs and sleep. Sleep. I've won the battle for another night. Now I can sleep.
Who is Shirley who comes out of the bookcase at midnight? Is it someone Lyman killed? The hermit will tell you before the night is done.
There are people in most countries who would like to live in the Republic of the United States or the Dominion of Canada where that good Olga Cole is sold. The citizens of our free countries are the envy of many people elsewhere because of the personal freedom which we have enjoyed. Why, then, doesn't every country adopt a form of free government? One answer is that, unfortunately, there are people and parties in many nations who are so greedy for power that they will sacrifice the freedom of their fellow countrymen to obtain power for themselves. History, even recent history, is replete with such instances. That is why the citizens of the Republic of the United States and the Dominion of Canada must be careful to recognize at its very beginning any movement to steal or limit their freedom. That is not always easy. The man who would enslave a free people doesn't begin by saying, "Now I'm going to be your dictator." Instead, he probably will claim that he is a devoted supporter of personal freedom. But all the while, he will support policies that weaken and undermine personal freedom. Such a man will deny any totalitarian aims. But free citizens must not be deceived by such denials. Apparently, it is a cardinal principle of every sincere totalitarian that he is justified in lying, if such lies will advance his plans. In these times, no public figure and no party or organization supporting such a person can be accepted without careful consideration. Every public figure and organization must be carefully scrutinized. And if their real aims are to limit or to destroy our freedom as individuals, they must be opposed and defeated. Now the hermit again.
The next morning, Dr. Russell talks to Lyman about the mysterious Shirley. Is the doctor talking to a murderer, eh? Listen.
Lyman, I want to hear the story. In this clear, clean daylight, I want you to tell me your story.
It's nothing I can tell you.
I'm your friend, Hazel's friend. I can't see your lives ruined, see your whole future shattered by some strange thing that holds you that, if it were brought out into daylight, would vanish.
You think it would?
I'm sure it would.
It's with me as much in the day as it is at night.
I found out since last night that Shirley Gray was a character in your last novel. Now, certainly, Lyman, you aren't going to sit there and tell me that you believe a character out of a storybook can return to haunt you.
Yes, yes, she does.
It's absurd. Besides, from what I know of ghosts, doors wouldn't bother them. They'd walk right through them.
Not Shirley. She isn't strong enough yet. She hasn't been dead long enough.
And how should she kill Hazel? How do you know she wants to kill her?
For revenge. I killed Shirley when she was still young, lovely. She didn't want to die.
But how do you know she wants to kill Hazel?
Because night after night, she's come to me. Guided my hand while I write. Has written, I'll take your wife from you, just as you snatched my lover.
Lyman, listen to me. Characters from storybooks, I don't care how real they are to you, were never flesh and blood. They can't inhabit a spirit world.
But Shirley Gray was flesh and blood. I took her out of life and put her in a book.
You mean you used some real girl as a type for your story?
Yes, I did.
Tell me about it, Lyman. Perhaps I'll be able to aid you.
It was several months before I was married. You remember I went up to that lake in the north to write?
I remember.
It was while I was there that I met Shirley Gray. She was the most strikingly beautiful girl that I'd ever seen.
Max, this is Mr. Clinton. Mr. Lyman Clinton.
How do you do, Mr. Clinton? Shirley tells me you're an author. She's frightfully keen on your stories. But I'm ashamed to say I don't believe I've ever read any of your work.
Oh, don't apologize, please. I'm the one who should do that. Afraid I write for money, not fame.
Oh, it isn't true. We've had a grand time talking books. From early French beginnings of the novel to modern. From Zola to John de Pepper.
Oh, it's nice of you to entertain Shirley, Mr. Clinton. I can only come out weekends. Gets pretty lonely here at the lake with only your folks for company.
The pleasure's been mine, I assure you.
Come on. We're wasting a glorious day meant for swimming. I'll race you to the second sandbar, Shirley.
Right. Want a bet? What are the stakes?
Whatever you say. And so I spent days at the lake with her, walking through the woods, talking, and falling in love with her.
But this Max, who was he?
The boy she loved, was engaged to.
Yes? Go on, Lyman.
In Shirley's company, I could feel myself groping for new thoughts, beginning to live more than I ever had before. She had a free and full imagination.
Yes?
She wasn't muddled by life as most people are. She possessed a spiritual insight, clear, alive.
I understand.
And one night, I told her how I felt about her.
But Hazel, you were engaged to Hazel at the time.
I'd forgotten about Hazel. She belonged in another world. She had no existence in this one.
So you told this Shirley?
Yes. We'd climbed one of the high sand dunes that afternoon, had returned. It was dusk. Shadows had begun to settle on the water. Stars were beginning to fill the sky. And we'd paused to watch their reflection.
You will be returning home soon, Lyman. And so will I.
I shall never leave this spot, nor you.
Not in mind, perhaps, but in actuality. This lake, the beauty of it all, will be something to remember on cold winter nights.
It's no use to disguise things from you, Shirley. You know I'm in love with you.
I know that, Lyman.
I'll never let you leave me. Never.
I think you will. You understand me. And yet you don't.
Meaning?
That you've read many things into me that don't exist at all. And have omitted one thing. The main thing.
Which is?
That I love Max. Love him very much.
No place for me?
Don't beg. I hate it. With Max, life is easy, unconfused. We're happy on a simple plane. We'll romp through life together and fight together. But not with too much effort.
The easy way?
Perhaps. But why take the difficult? I like life. It's fun. It may be drab and hard someday, but not now.
I haven't misunderstood you, Shirley. Quite the contrary. And I love you.
Please, Lyman, let's not talk anymore. Look at the water. See the boat way off in the distance, covered with a thousand lights, going somewhere. Let's just sit here and watch.
That night was the last time I saw Shirley Gray alive.
Yes, what happened to her?
She left the lake the next day. 2 days after, I returned home.
And asked Hazel to hasten your marriage?
Yes, because I wanted to forget this girl as soon as I could.
I understand.
But I couldn't forget her. I couldn't. She was with me constantly. So I began to write a story about her. That drove me wild.
Yet you finished the book? Published it, in fact.
Yes, I finished it. But do you know what I did?
I think I know.
I couldn't bear to think of Shirley living without me. So I killed her in the story. Then the very day that I killed her in the book, she was killed in life.
What?
Yes, killed. In an automobile. Instantly.
That had nothing to do with your story. You weren't to blame.
I was. I fought so hard, wanted it so much. I brought it about. I killed her. She wasn't ready to die. She won't accept death. Now she comes back to haunt me for retribution. Tell me, Doctor, what am I going to do? Help me if you can. Help me, please.
I will, Lyman. Tonight we shall go to the library together. And I will help you. I have a plan.
I killed her.
How do you do, young man? You're Max Pierce, aren't you?
Yes, sir, I am.
I'm Dr. Russell.
Oh, yes, Dr. Russell. I'm glad to meet you. But there's nothing you can do for me. I was in an automobile accident. Smashed up. Always have to walk with crutches.
I know what I'm going to ask of you will seem very strange and personal. But I have a very good reason. Will you hear me?
Well, yes. What is it?
You were engaged to Shirley Gray, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
And loved her?
We were to have been married. I don't understand you.
You will in a moment. And Shirley Gray died?
Yes. And I had to live on. I don't want to.
If you're able, your doctor told me I might take you with me tonight to help save another man's sanity. We have to drive in the country. I'll tell you the story on the way.
This is all strange to me.
Now, don't be afraid. It's all right. Will you come?
Yes, I'll come.
To my car, then. I'll tell you the story as we drive to our destination. That's all there is to tell right now.
It doesn't seem possible.
I'm sane and considered to be a level-headed man. I've never believed in ghosts. Never.
Nor I.
But I'm compelled to believe this time.
But why doesn't she come to me?
Perhaps she will. Tonight. Here we are. It's 11:30. You'll find him in the library waiting. It's I.
Yes? Come in.
Who's this? Who have you brought with you?
Max Pierce. Do you remember him?
Why have you brought him here?
Oh, please, Mr. Clinton. I want to help you. And I want to see Shirley.
Perhaps he can talk to her.
You've made a mess of things. Seeing Max will craze her. She'll kill all of us.
No, I think it will give her peace.
She wants revenge, not peace.
But you need help. You can't go on this way.
Sit down, both of you. Be quiet and listen. Listen. Do you hear that rustling sound? It's the wind and the water. She brings the sound with her. Listen. She's coming. Nearer. Nearer. I can see her tonight. Do you see her?
Why? Yes. Yes, I do see her.
Shirley, my darling. Shirley, speak to me.
Max. Max, you've come to me.
Oh, yes, Shirley. I'm here. My darling, I love you.
Do you want to come with me now? Forever?
I do, yes. Surely I do. But your revenge upon me.
I shall have my revenge. You shall go on living, suffering for killing others.
Shirley.
Don't be afraid to die. Death will be lovely when we are together.
What have I done?
I forgive you, Lyman Clinton. I leave you in peace. Come to me, Max. Follow me.
Yes, Shirley. I'll follow you. I'll follow you. I'll follow you.
Lyman's story actually caused the death of Shirley Gray. A spirit returned and took Max Pierce to her, leaving Lyman to ponder and suffer the rest of his life. Turn on your lights. Turn them on. I'll be back. Pleasant dream.
All characters, places, and occurrences mentioned in the Hermit's Cave are fictitious, and similarity to persons, places, or occurrences is purely accidental.
Jin's all-time radio. Fish wants those kids dead. Now enjoy this filthy episode of The Saint, entitled Death of the Saint.
Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charter and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as The Saint.
Oh, open up, please. Hurry.
Well, to what do I owe this?
Oh, close the door. I've been followed.
Naturally, you're a blonde.
I assure you, the men who followed me weren't interested in the color of my hair.
Don't tell me they were chasing you for your money.
No, dear, not my money, my life. Well, it's good to be here, finally. I've come a long way to see you, Simon.
Oh, hell, if I'd known you were coming.
You didn't expect me?
You're as unexpected as Yankee bean soup on a menu in Moscow, but infinitely more welcome.
You weren't contacted? You didn't speak to Maxime?
The only Maxime I know happens to be a restaurant in Paris.
Oh, they intercepted him. And we were so sure he wasn't even known to them. That his cover was... We'll have to proceed on our own, Simon. We can do it.
Of course we can do it. But what? What particular type of melodrama are we playing?
I'd better tell you the whole story, everything.
You have the Sultan's ear, Scheherazade. Or what is your name?
Claire.
Oh, sit down, Claire.
Thank you. I've just come back from Mexico City. He was there. He's changed in the last 5 years, Simon. You'd never recognize him. It must have been plastic surgery. He doesn't look...
I see. And now I know everything?
Did you hear something?
What sort of something?
Outside the door. I thought I heard a footstep. Simon, the blinds. Pull down the blinds. How stupid of me not to have done it immediately.
Yeah.
Why are you staring out the window? Is someone...
Is one of them a little man in a badly fitting suit, at least two sizes too large for him, and a large floppy hat?
He's there?
Yeah, he's there.
And the other one, the large one?
And he's there, all of him.
Oh, come away from the window, Simon. He needn't bother pulling the other blind down now.
Who are they, Claire? Which wild Halloween are those two types left over from? How many more of them are there?
How many more? Hundreds, Simon, perhaps thousands. We'll never know exactly. We must go, Simon, at once.
Well, shouldn't we have a little explaining before we do any going?
There isn't time. Those two down there will be coming up soon, and when they do... You must trust me, Simon, you must.
Come on, Claire.
Is there anyone... Do you think we were followed, Simon? Is there anyone behind us?
Look, in Grand Central Station, there are always people behind you. Tell me, are we meeting a train or taking one?
Train? What makes you think we're taking a train, Simon?
Well, I should have warned you. Every now and then, I get a little irrational. Like thinking the reason we're here in a railroad terminal has something to do with a train. Did I say something to frighten
you?
Huh?
Quick, hold me tight and kiss me as if you meant it.
As if I meant it? You mean there's another way? So that's why we came here. We must do this more often.
No, don't talk. I'm your sweetheart. I'm going away. Kiss me again.
Coax me.
Please, this is no time to joke. He's watching us. Kiss me.
Well, I'll force myself. Whew. Simon Tensler, you dog, you.
He's gone.
Now, Mr. Miller, to do something very nice for him sometime. And now, sweetheart, what does...
And now, sweetheart, we really do say goodbye.
We what?
We say goodbye. Well, come now. Don't look so bewildered.
Oh, but sweetheart...
Goodbye, Simon. And thanks for the use of the hall.
You forgot to close the door, Mr. Templer.
What? Oh, yes, so I did. But since it's my door, I think I'll leave it open this time. Especially since you're just about ready to leave.
You are wrong, Saint. I am not ready to leave. I have a few things I must do before I go.
What sort of thing?
Perhaps I shall kill you first. In fact, I am quite sure that I shall. But that is the least of what I must do here in your apartment.
Look here, if you insist on killing me, I'm afraid that I'll have to insist that you regard it as important.
Oh, it is important only to you. And to the policeman who will have the tiresome task of finding out who did it. You will shut the door, please, Saint.
I will shut the door.
As for your new friend, Saint, the matter of your death will be to them merely a temporary inconvenience.
And for me, the matter of my death will be, I'm afraid, a rather permanent inconvenience. Well, so I'm to be killed by a Luger, I see. So glad it isn't one of the cheaper guns.
Oh, how splendidly you whistle as you pass the graveyard. It is too bad, too bad. You could have been so useful to us.
You mean there are more at home like you?
There are more. Perhaps there are not as many as there should be, but we make up for our numerical deficiency by knowing that right is on our side.
It should be a great comfort to me as I lie in my coffin to know that I wasn't murdered by bad men, but by good men.
It is a great pity you did not think along those lines before, Templar.
Before? Before what?
Before you decided to join them instead of us. It is almost midnight. I hope we shall not have to wait very much longer.
We are waiting for someone?
A messenger with a package for you.
A package? How nice. Aren't you just dying to know what's in it?
Hardly, since I am the one who sent it to you. When the boy arrives, Templar, you will go to the door and accept the package.
Oh, I will, huh?
Indeed you will, and I shall be right behind you. And so will this Luger. Needless to say, my friend, any attempt to seek help from the messenger will result in not only your execution, but the boy's as well.
You play dirty poker, don't you? Who are you?
Oh, it does not matter who I am.
Well, it does to me. I always like to know who I'm being murdered by.
Oh, I am called Maxime.
Maxime? So you're Maxime?
You have heard of me? Oh, but of course. She learned about me in Mexico City.
I despise people who are abnormally inquisitive just as you must, but by she, I suppose you mean Claire?
Ah, that is what she calls herself now, eh? Claire. She's very beautiful, is she not? When I saw you kissing in the railroad station before, I almost envied you until I realized that you would soon be dead. What is it, Saint? No more whistling past the graveyard?
I was just thinking. So you were the one we put on the little performance for in the railroad station, eh?
Performance, eh?
And until you saw Claire and me together, you imagined for some reason or other that I was at bat for your team. I see.
Oh, please, Saint, do not waste the last moments of your life in resorting to childish ruses. I think prayer is much more fitting to the occasion.
Don't you see, Maxine? Claire's reason for getting me to the railroad station was to make you think that she and I were on the same side.
Yes, of course. And she was the one who knew that my train was due at that time, eh? Not you, she.
I was supposed to know when you were to arrive?
You received my letter, did you not? You must have. I received your answer. Oh, please, Saint, please stop clutching at straws. I am going to kill you. It is inevitable. You'd die as soon as I regain the package.
Oh, yes, the package.
It was fortunate that I had the good sense to send it ahead to you when the train stopped in Philadelphia, was it not? I should have been dead by now if I had not done so.
You know, Maxime, I find myself in a very unusual position.
Oh, I quite agree. It isn't every day that one gets killed.
I meant it's unusual because if I weren't going to die by means of that efficient-looking little Luger of yours, I think I'd probably drop dead from a case of acute curiosity. Just what...
Yes, the messenger?
My death knell, eh? Ask not for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Who is it?
Messenger, package for Templar.
Do not open the door all the way. Act natural, perfectly natural. I will be right behind you. Remember, I shoot both you and the boy.
Come on, you're going to open up a ranger. I want to go home.
Coming, Henry.
It's about time, and my name ain't Henry, it's Morris.
Oh, mine's Simon. But in a few minutes, someone is going to change it to mine.
What's the matter? What'd you jump like that for? Something jab into your back?
Jab into my back? No. It's an old family affliction, spasms of the Calabasas. You must let me tell you about it. It always comes on a...
Not me. You don't tell about it. Tell your doctor. I got to get home and get some sleep. I'm pitching tomorrow.
Pitching? Say, are you a pitcher?
I'll say I am. I'm the best pitcher we got. Maybe you heard of our team, the Brooklyn Beavers?
The Brooklyn Beavers? Of course I've heard of them.
Yeah? Where?
Where? Why? Well, everybody's heard of the Brooklyn Beavers, especially an old Yankee pitcher like me.
I'm warning you, Sam.
You pitch for the Yankees? Hey, look, maybe you can help me with something.
Get rid of him, Sam, or I'll kill you.
Gee, another spasm of the Calahoozas, huh? Too bad the things that happened to former pitchers.
Yeah.
Hey, look, mister, can you show me how to develop a good wind-up?
Wind-up? You want me to show you how I used to wind up for a pitch?
Gee, would you?
Why, sure. Now, first you put this foot, the left one, out about 2 feet.
2 feet, huh?
Uh-huh. Next, clasp the ball in both hands and raise your arms up over your head toward the back. As far back as they'll go.
Like this?
That's right. You're getting it. Then using all the strength in your legs, all the strength, now you... suddenly kick back.
Hey, what's that? Hey, what's that noise in there?
Noise?
It sounds like somebody got hurt and then fell down. What's this?
Mice.
Mice?
Yes, big ones.
You're nuts. And furthermore, you never pitch for no Yankees.
You don't think so?
I know so. I never seen such a lousy windup. Here's your package. And you can just forget about the tip, buddy.
Thanks.
The thing some people tell you. And for what? Only so they can impress you.
Come on, Maxine. Wake up. Come now. It's time to be alive again. Here now. Sip some of this. There. That's... Hey, wait a minute. That's Napoleon brandy. If you spill it, Napoleon and I will never forgive you.
That is enough.
You don't feel very well, do you, Max? Is that any kind of a look now to throw at a man who's just been feeding you Napoleon brandy?
Go on, Templar. You hold the gun now. Get it over with.
You mean shoot you? Oh, I wouldn't dream of shooting you, Max. Why, I'd be lonesome without you. Besides, I can't tell you how much I've been looking forward to an inch-by-inch travelogue based on your trip to Mexico.
No, you will get nothing from me, Saint. Go ahead, shoot. I will not be the first man to die for something he believed in.
Thank you, Nathan Hale.
Oh,
yes, I know, and you must try to forgive me. But after all, what's a little kick in the pit of the stomach between friends? Tomorrow, perhaps you'll be kicking me in the stomach.
Oh, water. Give me water.
I'll get you water, but I won't give you water. You'll have to buy it.
Buy it?
By answering a question. The thing I found in the package, what makes it so valuable?
Oh, no, I will not tell you. I cannot. Water, please.
Maybe you can buy yourself a glass of water with the answer to this.
I shall not answer any question.
You have courage, my friend, but here's the question anyhow. There's a little man in a floppy hat and a suit that's too large for him, and another man roughly patterned after the Empire State Building. Do you know him?
Yes.
Your sign?
Our side? Oh, no, Templar, not our side. Satan's.
Well, you have just won yourself a glass of water. Would you like to try for two?
I will not answer any more questions.
You're a stubborn little fellow, aren't you? I'll get you water. And then I will make sure that you will be here when I get back.
You're going out?
Oh, just down to the corner. I want to ask those two curious employees of Satan's just why they prefer to spend the night on the street staring up at my windows when beds are so much more comfortable. Excuse me.
Yeah. What is it, Joey?
May I trouble you for a light?
Why, yes, certainly. But my dear fellow, your cigarette is already lit.
It is? You mean I've been smoking all this time and didn't eat? How mild can a cigarette be?
You're gone now. No more talk.
That's amazing. This is the first time in all these years I've ever heard the Empire State Building speak. And just what are you doing so far from 34th Street? Ran out on your foundation, hmm?
You're gone now. Or I hurt.
Ali. Hmm? Gentlemen is just trying to have fun, Ali.
Ali? Ali? Didn't I read something recently about you and Rita Hayworth?
You're gone now.
You must forgive my friend, sir. He's very sensitive.
Oh, and very inhospitable. Now, if you were visiting me in my home, or haven't you acquired squatter's rights to this stretch of sidewalk yet, huh?
I do not understand.
Then I will be blunt. Exactly what about my windows is so fascinating to you and this Near Eastern gargantua that you make a career out of observing them?
I'm afraid you are mistaken, sir. My friend and I arrived at this particular place only a moment ago. He was standing here ready to breathe fresh air, not to watch anyone's windows.
I make him to go now, Victor. He's good.
It's quite all right, Ali. Gentleman is just making talk.
That's right, Ali. I'm just making talk. As I was telling a friend of mine before, a fellow named Maxime, who recently returned from Mexico City, I said, Max, this thing you brought back from Mexico with you seems so absolutely worthless. But it must actually be very valuable since so many people are willing to commit murder for it. And Max just... Oh.
It's good I blocked out this man, Victor. I think I see you give signal. It's the right thing I do.
Exactly right, my dear Ali, exactly. And now if you will be so kind as to carry him to the car, I have a feeling the leader would like to have a talk with this man who calls himself the saint. Mm-hmm. Wake up, sir. Wake up now. I said wake up. Herr Schmidt would like to talk to you.
Huh? What?
I said Herr Schmidt would like to have a talk with you.
Tell him I never see anyone without an appointment.
Yeah. Oh. You'll be respectful while in the presence of the leader.
The leader? He conducts an orchestra?
Yeah. Oh.
Ask a civil question and you get a slap in the face.
Yeah. Now stand up, Saint. On your feet.
That's all right, Victor. Mr. Tendler can remain seated if he wants to.
You see, Victor, I can sit here if I want to. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you? You must be Schmidt.
That is correct. And now, Tendler, we will immediately get down to the business at hand. Where is it?
You mean you live here and you don't know?
I have no intention of wasting time listening to your misguided attempts at humor, Tendler. You know the object to which I refer. I must have it at once. You hear?
I hear, and two will get you five. There are people in Germany who can also hear. Oh, for heaven's sake, Victor. You starting that face-slapping business again?
I told you before, you have to be more respectful when the leader speaks to you.
If you'll just untie my hands for a moment, I'll show both you and the leader exactly how much respect I have for both of you.
For the last time, Templar, where is it?
What?
The glass, you swine. The little whiskey glass that other pig brought to you from Mexico.
Oh, that. You know, I had a feeling it was that whiskey glass you were after.
Well, where is it?
Try the 5 and 10.
Oh.
You know, Victor, someone's going to have to cure you of that habit. You're going to hurt that hand someday.
It will answer the leader's question. Where is the whiskey glass?
I give the correct answer, do I get to try for the giant jackpot?
If you give the correct answer, son, you get to die simply and quickly. And without any of your annoying little touches, my friend Ali is so good at.
Oh, you make it sound so attractive. The glass is in my apartment.
You lie. Ali and Victor searched all over your apartment.
The glass you're looking for is mixed in with all my other whiskey glasses. They all look alike.
Again, so... you lie. I brought it back here, all of your whiskey glasses.
Now, that's dishonest.
And the one we want is not amongst them. For the last time, say, what did you do with it?
Very well, Vic. I guess I know when I'm licked.
Ah, Now you're getting wise.
The glass is in a check locker at Grand Central Station.
A check locker? The key to the locker. There's the key.
Well, I'd be very happy to go home and get it for you.
That will not be necessary. Just tell us where the key's hidden.
It's hidden in the lamp on my desk.
In a lamp? Where in the lamp?
In the socket, where the bulb screws on. Just unscrew the bulb and put your finger inside the socket. You'll get it.
You'd better be telling the truth, Templer. I'll go at once, Herr Schmidt. You will come with me?
Yeah. And him?
He's well tied. Besides, Holly will return in a little while.
And before you go, Victor, suppose you answer me a question.
Uh-huh.
Tell me, who is your tailor?
My tailor?
Yes, I've been admiring that suit you have on. I think it's very considerate of your tailor to make it two sizes too large in case you have a friend visiting. Oh, my goodness.
The rest I say for Holly. He will do his best to entertain you while we are gone. He will do tricks for you.
Ah, nice.
All sorts of tricks with hot irons and lighted matches. And you will see. Let us go, Herr Führer.
After you, mein Herr. After you.
Soon, now, soon. Iron will get hot. Iron will get very hot.
Oh, I send my laundry out, Ali.
It burned through skin. You like that, huh?
Oh, love it, but I'm a little disappointed in you, Ali. Your friend Victor claimed that you had some fresh and original ideas. That hot iron stuff goes back to the Middle Ages. Hmm? This is where I wouldn't mind going back to right now.
I know business. Best torture man in whole world.
You?
You know better one.
Sure.
Who?
Me.
You torture man?
The best.
I no believe.
You mean to say you've never heard of Terrible Templar? The trouble with you is you just haven't been attending the annual torturer's convention.
Pah.
Would you mind turning your head the other way next time you say pa? That's the kind of torture I don't deserve.
I not believe you no torture treat.
Ali, you just ignorant, that's all. Why, my butterfly twist is famous everywhere torture is practiced. Won first prize at the Iowa State Fair.
Pa. Iron soon be hot now. Then I show you.
Hot irons. Pa. High school stuff. Tell me, how many lighted matches can you put under a fingernail?
Three under each nail.
Three? Only three?
You do better. How many you put?
14.
14 under one fingernail?
Yes, three.
I no believe. You big sharp liar.
So I'm a liar, huh? I suppose now you want me to prove.
Yeah, you prove. You show me.
Untie my hands from behind this chair and I'll show you.
14 matches. Big sharp liar. There. You untie from chair. Now. You show me.
With the greatest of pleasure. I'm sorry I broke the chair on your head, Ali. I was getting sort of fond of that chair.
Hello, Simon.
Sweetheart, you've come back to me.
Yes, I've come back, but... too late, I'm afraid.
Oh, too late? Don't be silly, Claire. Grand Central Station's open all night, or should we do our kissing right here?
Please, Simon, I'm not in the mood for banter. There's a man here in your apartment. He's in the other room.
That's Maxine. Surely you remember good old Maxine.
Oh, yes, I have much reason to remember Maxine. He's dead.
Dead?
He was shot.
Oh. Oh, that's too bad. He was a game little guy.
You killed him?
No. The unholy twosome was here looking for the glass. They did it.
The little man in the badly fitting coat and the giant Arab?
Yes.
I should have guessed. But the whiskey glass, Simon. What happened to the whiskey glass?
They have it. Victor and the man he calls the leader.
The leader? He's in New York?
Herr Schmidt is here, all right. But believe me, not to stay. Nor is Victor long for this world. Now, I'm going to ask some questions. And what's more, I'm going to get some answers.
Yes, Simon. I think you're entitled to some answers. You don't know why the glass is so important, do you?
Obviously, it carries somebody's fingerprints. I can't think of any other reason why a 10-cent whiskey glass could be important, but whose?
You have heard of Carl Bruder?
Carl? Bruder? Bruder, yes. Hitler's heir apparent. The man selected most likely to succeed him, but he's dead.
It was never completely proven. He was thought to be dead.
Come on, Claire.
We have an organization among some of my countrymen which has sworn to track these beasts down. Well, we've found Carl Bruder, our biggest prize in Mexico City. He'd had his face changed by surgery. He no longer was the fancy dresser he used to be. He used to call him the Nazi Bo Brummel. But still, adding together 100 minute facts and clues, we knew it was Bruder.
Well, why didn't you tell the government, Claire? They'd have taken over from there on.
Well, because everyone now takes it for granted that Bruder's dead. They can't conceive that he's alive.
So you got his fingerprints, the one thing that couldn't change, that would prove that Bruder was alive.
Yes. We were going to send the glass to Germany to have the prints compared with the set of prints known to be Bruder's that exist there.
Yes.
Then they would have believed us. Then they'd have to arrest him and make him answer for his crimes.
But Bruder got wise.
Oh, he knew that someone had gotten hold of the glass with his fingerprints. It was life or death to him to get it back. I was charged with bringing the glass here.
And Maxine?
Maxine. Poor Maxine. I was stupid. I didn't know.
Didn't know what?
Ours is not a very closely knit organization, Simon. The members seldom meet each other and, well...
You mean you and poor Maxine were playing on the same team?
Yes, but we didn't know. Neither of us knew. We each thought...
It's too bad. When you heard that Max was coming to me to help him, you staged that scene in the station to make him think that I'd joined up on your varsity.
Yes, huh? Yes, I was stupid. Max would still be alive if I... What's the use? It isn't Maxine's life that bothers me so much now. It's losing the glass. That is the unforgivable part of it. Now Bruder will get away.
Well, you bet he doesn't. A long evening in Grand Central Station?
There's no one here, Simon. Not even a light burning.
No, and I was sure there'd be...
Welcome back, Mr. Templar.
Oh.
How good of you to return.
Yes, Templar. How good of you to return. And we thought you didn't especially care for our hospitality.
Oh, that is just poor. You didn't care for things.
Ali? Torture man second class. What he doesn't know about our modern and improved methods would fill a morgue.
I see you have brought a guest, Templar. How nice to have you here, my dear.
I'm frightened.
Frightened? You mustn't be frightened just because I'm holding a gun, my dear. Dying from a bullet is rather pleasant compared with some other ways. Yes, Mr. Templar.
She isn't afraid of the gun, Victor. It's that suit you're wearing.
Stop it, Saint. I'm warning you.
Yeah, and I too am.
Well, well, the leader hurt his finger. It's going to look terrible when you salute yourself in the mirror now.
Enough!
But then, leader, it's your own fault. A great big leader like you should know better than to put his finger in a live light socket.
Enough! You will be quiet. You hear?
Hear? You're rattling the ruins of the Reichschancery. And they're such lovely ruins.
Good morning, Saint. You're only dealing with a poor, simple-minded Ali now.
I know. I had to use deception on poor, simple-minded Ali. But on you, I'll use force! That's what I use on poor, simple-minded Victor and the glorious leader. How does it feel to be looking down the wrong end of a Luger for once, boys? Only for you and others like you, it's the right end.
Very well. You have won, Templar. But you still must prove that I, Johann Schmidt, am Karl Bruder. And without the glass...
Yes, that's true. I do not have the glass you have.
Ah, how unfortunate for you.
But I have a roll of film.
Film?
Yes, I dusted the glass with powder and photographed the prints. So I've got the fingerprints, and more important, I've got the leader, right?
Very well, Templar. You've got me.
Yes, Johann Schmidt, I've got you, too. But it's Bruder who's the star attraction in my show.
But I am Bruder.
You're Bruder, huh? And you think Johann Schmidt, the German equivalent of John Smith, is the ideal alias for a wanted man?
It was an easy name. It was.
And the hotshot Führer lets little Victor precede him from a room. Oh, come, come. If you were the leader, loudmouth, the Dictators' Union would have you up on charges for that one.
But he is the leader. He's Bruder, I swear it.
Sure, and Claire and I are Hansel and Gretel. You're Karl Bruder, little man. That's why you wear such a badly fitting suit. Bruder was the Nazi Bo Brummel. So your disguise called for you to get as far away from elegance as you could, didn't it?
No, it is not true.
Schmidt is car blue dye.
Still think enough of good clothes to get furious every time someone makes a crack about your appearance, don't you?
Look at you. Oh, that suit looks awful, Victor. It's got enough room in it for three ugly little tramps like you.
You dumb schwank.
See? There you go again, the furious Führer. You know, when you get mad, you look just like that other tramp. Adolf, that is. But why worry about your clothes at a time like this, Gruder? What do you care what you wear when they hang you?
You have been listening to another transcribed adventure of the Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now here's our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, in tonight's cast, you heard Sammy Hill, Lou Merrill, Gil Stratton Jr., Charlie Lung, Ed Max, and Ted Von Elf. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of the Saint. Good night.
Next, Sam Spade on NBC.
Thank you for listening to Ricky Jin's Old Time Radio. Join us again next week at the same time on the mighty KONR. Don't forget to play What Will Mrs. Thompson Say at LGAP.com. Now, stay tuned for the Sam Squatch Report.